and welcome to River Writers, a production of the Writers Guild of Astoria,
a 501c3 nonprofit supporting writers in the literary arts on the North Coast and the Lower Columbian region. Aired the second Monday of each month at 9 a.m., River Writers provides a chance to peek behind the curtain at the craft of writing. What motivates writers to do the work they do? This month I'm speaking to the director of the Clatsop Community College Library, Dan McClure, on the second floor of the library building.
Okay, so my guest this month, I'm speaking to Dan McClure. Dan has been the library director for the Clatsop Community College Library for the past 7.5 years. You've been in the library and book business for about 20 years now, right?
That is correct.
2005, you graduated from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro with a 4.0.
That's true. That's where I got my graduate degree, a master's in library and information studies.
So we're sitting here at the library looking at the beautiful Columbia River and the Astoria Meegler Bridge. It's such a beautiful view. And I guess my first question is, what is it about books that you want to spend all your waking moments with them?
Well, it's a good question, Sean. Of course, I love books, and the library is full of books. I tend to think of libraries as being people-centric first, and then relating to the information sources, whether they're books or electronic information or music or whatever is held in that library, as relating to the people who use the library. So the users, if you will.
So it's people, then books.
Yes. So
people, information, and then books.
Books being a holder of information.
Right.
But there are many libraries that have no books, or they're, full of records or sheet music or images or all kinds of different things that could be held in libraries. But it's true, our library has a great collection of books, some tens of thousands of them, which is super. But then we have other objects, too, that physically reside on the shelves. Almost 3,000 DVDs, which is, great. We're a great video store for free videos. Music on CD. We have magazines. We have journals. We have newspapers. And all of that... That's a huge amount of information that's provided physically here in the library, but what we have electronically for our students makes all that is dwarfed by our electronic collections.
Well, I want to get into the services that you provide, and then to who you provide them to. But I want to ask, when you were growing up, did you say, "I want to be a librarian"?
No, I didn't have that in mind. I don't know that I had a real career in mind growing up. To the point of, I did see a career counselor in high school, and they recommended that I be a postman or a mail carrier, which seemed like that could be an okay occupation, but I don't know that I ever aspired to it.
Yeah.
I actually started college as an art major and dropped out after 1 year.
I did the same thing once.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And that was at University of Oregon. I'm from Eugene. And then when I went back to U of O after many years, after attending, briefly attending Wayne Community College for about a year to get some prereqs done, I went back as a journalism major. And I was thinking I would go into advertising as a creative in the advertising field.
Oh, nice.
But
you kind of mixed it all together. I mean, so did you gravitate towards being a librarian and getting a degree in, was it library science? Or?
Yeah.
And so did you gravitate towards that after going through these other paths?
Yeah, I mean, I think partially as a consequence of going to journalism school, I got really into the research angle of just how much is available. I spent a lot of time in the night library, University of Oregon, also in the art library. And I think that's when I really developed a keener appreciation for libraries and the amazing skills of some of the librarians that helped me out at U of O. And I think that's when librarianship really started to be on my map as a career, but I was still thinking I would go into advertising. And then my wife and I moved to Greensboro so that she could pursue her graduate studies. And I was in between degrees. This is right after we both graduated from U of O. And a job was posted at a library, and I was thinking about libraries, but I was also thinking about advertising. And I had an interview with an advertising agency. But I kind of wanted to pursue my graduate education. And I was thinking more and more about being a librarian, but I thought, well, I've never worked in a library before. Maybe I should get a job in a library and see if I like it before I go and, you know, spend 2+ years getting a graduate degree.
Well, obviously you hated it.
Yeah, I can't stand it. It's awful. No, it's wonderful. I love it every day. Yeah.
So, yeah, and I love being here, too. It's really, really a great spot. And so so everybody knows, I don't know if you don't know, you should, that the Astoria Library, the Veterans Memorial Library, is closed for renovations. Like an $8 million bond that passed?
Yeah.
And now the temporary library is in the old Roby's furniture building.
Over there on 15th and Duane.
Yeah. But what people might not know is that if they have an Astoria Library card, they can come here to the Clatsop Community College Library.
That's correct. We both participate in a great program in Oregon called the Oregon Library Passport Program. So really any passport library patron can go to another passport library and provide their photo ID and their valid library card, and they can check out materials from that library.
So they don't have to be enrolled in the college.
That is correct. You don't need to be enrolled in the college to loan materials from our library. You can either be a passport patron, so someone with an Astoria Public Library card, and now someone with a Seaside Public Library card,
wow,
can come here with their public library card and their valid photo ID, and we can set up an account for them that's free. People who don't have the library card with an institution that participates in the Oregon Library Passport Program can also set up an account that costs $20 a year or $5 for 3 months to set up a patron level account. And the patron level accounts also include transfer access to materials that are held within our consortium, which is called the Chinook Library Network. That's not included for a passport account. And another thing that's included in the patron level account is interlibrary loan service, where we can borrow, not just transfer from within our consortium, but get materials from libraries all across the United States.
Oh, wow. So if you do hold an Astoria Library card and you come into the Clatsop Community College Library, yes, you can get books and you have so many books, but what other services are available here?
Well, we help with research. So you're talking about for the general public, not for students.
Yes.
Let me preface this by saying we're very focused toward what happens at the college. You know, the students are at the center of our mission, and
yes,
so we're all about the teaching and learning. But we do absolutely have a public component. We're open to the public. So whether or not one has a library card that's valid here, members of the public are absolutely welcome to be in the library during open hours, which is 8 to 4:30 Monday through Thursday and 8 to 4 on Fridays. We have computers that members of the general public can use. We ask that they sign in at the front desk. Of course, even without a library card, you're welcome to read the materials that reside here on the shelves, and we can even set people up to watch movies in a movie viewing station.
Oh, that's great. So, you know, I'm looking down. It's really hard to not think about the history of this town. Can you talk a little bit about the history of this college?
Sure. The college was established in 1958. It, along with the Central Oregon Community College, were both established the same year. So both colleges have a claim to be the oldest community college in Oregon.
Is there a rivalry going?
There is a little bit of a rivalry because we both claim it. Although I'm sure we have the oldest buildings of any community college, we took over. So in 1958, we were established, but we held classes in the high school, which was brand new at the time, and it's where the high school is located now. Toller Hall was originally the high school, and that building, we
now took... it's Toller, not Towler.
I know it looks like towel.
Yeah, it's the couch thing, you know. That's how you know if you actually live here.
It's pronounced Toller. And for that matter, our library is actually called the Dora Baddeley Library.
Dora Baddeley.
Yeah, Dora Baddeley was an educator in Astoria. Anyway, yeah. I digress. So we moved into Toller Hall and I think Patriot Hall in 1962. This building where we are now was built in 1970. I believe they broke ground in 1969.
Oh, wow.
And I believe that Toller Hall was designed by John Wicks, who's probably the most well-known local architect. He had a daughter, Ebba Wicks, later Ebba Wicks Brown, who was also an architect, and I believe the second licensed female architect in the state of Oregon.
Oh, wow.
And she was also quite a force. They had a firm together, and then she had a firm with her husband, and finally with another partner. So the firm of Brown, and Grider put up this building, and it's believed that this is an Ebba Wicks Brown designed building. So it's kind of interesting that just you could throw a rock to Toller Hall that her dad designed, and here we are in the Ebba Wicks Brown building. It's of note that the public library was also built by the same firm, and many other buildings that are in Astoria. So many of the modernist buildings.
Library looks, I'm sorry, I know they're changing it, but it had looked kind of like a prison. The windows were so small.
Yeah, well, one of the great things with the redesign is how it's going to be open to a lot of light, because two of those huge cement panels will be replaced with giant windows.
Oh, yeah, I saw that driving by. There's big gaps now. I'm like, holy cow, because my daughter always went there after school for the library club, nice. You know. So,
yeah, they have great teen services there that love.
And so talking about, you know, the town and talking about, you know, the college does do a lot of stuff with other organizations, and they do stuff for the community. Can you talk about that at all, you think?
About our goals?
Your goals and maybe programs that you have with the community. The one that pops in my head right away is Ales and Ideas.
Sure. And so, all right, let's backtrack a little bit about Ales and Ideas. I guess I would say this. The Ales and Ideas is coordinated by Deke Weedy, who is fabulous. But it's also...
And he's on the faculty here.
Yes. Yeah. He's one of our faculty members. And he is part of a committee that I am also on called Arts and Ideas at mm-hmm. the college. And the Arts and Ideas Committee tries to organize all the cultural events of the college and have them collate on a shared calendar so that events don't interrupt with each other and we can take advantage of synergies of similar things. That's been really fruitful. For instance, last year's Trantler Fest, I don't know if you went to Trantler Fest, was a production of the Arts and Ideas Committee. This year will be the second annual Trantler Fest. That is going to be on May 7th in the evening. It's great.
What is it?
It's a celebration of the Trantler sculpture. Have you seen that over in the art building?
No.
It's this tall combination of a tree and an antler.
Okay, I must have seen it, but it's not. I mean, it's right in the middle, isn't it?
It's on outdoors in a courtyard. You should go check it out, yeah. Sean. So it's really neat. And the Trantler Fest is the celebration of this sculpture that we have on campus, which is really wonderful. I don't want to say too much.
So it's just a portmanteau, right? The tree and antler?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Last year we had live music. We had... a dancing troupe that was really fabulous. There was an open mic component. There was a shadow wall where people could draw their shadows. There was another art wall. There was dancing to recorded music and all kinds of different stuff. So it's a pretty cool event. So you should try to come this year if you can.
Yeah. I'd love to go to things like that. So,
but other, I guess we in the library, part of the reason why it's good to be on that coordinating committee, the Arts and Ideas Committee, is because we have our own events in the library that are made to appeal to the general public and also the students, and mm-hmm. both draw awareness of the library, but also kind of, you know, promote the use of the library and the library things that we have here. So
right. Recently you had a movie day.
We did. We showed Thunderbirds all day long.
The little puppets.
Yeah, the marionette animated series from the 60s. And that was really interesting. And so we do a movie event once a term, and we also do a stories event that's like story time for college students and adults.
Right, right.
So, like, story time is kind of a staple of public libraries, where they'll have quite often on Saturdays, but other days of the week, they'll have stories that they tell to children. Children sit around, listen to the story, and engage with the storytellers. This is, and it promotes, you know, reading and the book and literature and cultural yeah. awareness. This is similar to that, but it's excerpts on a theme that people, excerpts or complete works on a theme that the readers select. We have three readers read on a theme you've read before, yeah, and you were wonderful. Thank you for doing that. It's great. We hope to have you back. So this time around, so there's always a theme, and then in spring, the next one is going to be called Transcendental Tales, and that will be on March 15th. So it'll be interesting to see where our readers take that theme, what kind of transcendence transpires.
That's great. So the readers don't read their own.
No, it's not. That's a great question, because we also have had author readings here where readers read from their own works, you know, maybe even promote their own book. And we like to do that as well. That's another way to reify the importance of the spoken and written word in academia. And that's kind of what those stories events are all about, too. So that's another kind of library event that we do that's typically open for the students and for the public at large. And then those movie events kind of highlight that we're also about movies. And we either show movies that are public domain movies, or in the summer, we show movies that are from a library database that we have access to of educational movies. And we do a matinee series on Tuesdays and Wednesday afternoons for people to come in and watch matinee movies. And that's a great. We have a small but dedicated following of our matinee movie series that goes in the summer when you're not around, because you're out gallivanting across the nation with your family or doing what you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I like to do that.
I did want to mention, though, that our upcoming movie day is going to be on April 9th, and all day long we'll be showing the 1964 Japanese anime series Princess Knight. So that should be pretty fun. So I hope your viewers, especially those who are interested in anime, may come and take advantage of our all-day showing. And those movie showings and the reading events are typically held in the library lounge, right, that first room that you enter when you go to the library.
Now, is there a way that they can find these events?
Well, we advertise on social media.
Okay, and so you, like, which kind of social media?
So the college has an Instagram and also a Facebook account. We don't have a separate one for the library.
No, TikTok?
I don't believe we do TikTok or X or LinkedIn. We probably do all our events on LinkedIn, because that's where you'd find.
But they can find you on Facebook. Everybody knows Facebook.
Facebook seems to be the most popular out here. So that's one way, and then we'll often put the events in newspapers or on the KMUN schedule, that kind of thing.
If you're just joining us, I'm here at Clatsop Community College talking to the director of the library here, Dan McClure. And we've been talking a lot about books, and obviously because you work in a library. But this show is River Writers. And so I always thought it was important when I was teaching writing and when I talk about writing, go to AWP or whatever else, I always try to tell people it's so important to read if you want to be a good writer, right? And so I believe that, and that's why I'm like, hey, we need to be able to have access to more books, and this is a great place to access all of the books. But I also believe wholeheartedly in community. And I see a lot of groups come in here. I mean, not only do you have, you know, the high school students are touring it and stuff like that, but up here, especially in the library, the second floor, I've been here many mornings, and like there's art groups here. The Writers Guild of Astoria had a couple events here. Mm-hmm. You guys are always seeming like you are working with writers. You have the readings and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, some of those things are really organic. You know, that art group, they just like it here, so they come here. They don't... It's wonderful. They don't ask for permission. They just come and come and occupy the space. But we're open to the public and to that kind of impromptu action. I mean, nothing could be more flattering than to have a group of people come in and draw pictures, you know, out from the view out the window.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is $1 million view for sure.
It's incredible. I tell students all the time, you're never going to get a view like this in any library in the United States. It's the best.
So if somebody's out there, they're a writer, they're one of the Fisher poets, or, you know, they're a poet, a writer, can they come here and just sit up here and write?
Absolutely. You can just sit here while we're open and write. You don't have to interact with librarians or books or DVDs or any of it. You can just use the space. I mean, we are definitely open to that.
And nowadays, you can actually get a decent cup of coffee.
Oh, the cafe. The new cafe is great. Yeah, it's really good. The food there is great, too. Yeah, we're so lucky that they're here. I wanted to mention, I don't know that I did justice to the Chinook Library Network, and I wanted to just interject a little bit.
Of course, we're
part of a consortium, and that's a really powerful thing because we can get materials from these other libraries that are in our consortium. And that consortium includes currently 3 public libraries up and down the coast and 3 community colleges, the 3 community colleges that are on the Northwest coast. So mm-hmm. Oregon Coast Community College, us, of course, and Tillamook Bay Community College. But what makes this subject topical is that our consortium is in the process of expanding. We got a big grant from the state of Oregon, and as of the 10th of this month, we'll be adding 3 much larger public libraries. So the public libraries that we already have are Siletz, Walport, and Toledo. So they're smaller public libraries, but we're on the verge of adding Tillamook Public Library, Lincoln City Public Library, and Newport Public Library.
Oh, wow.
Elves.
Yes, but do the other colleges have books in a can? I'm looking up here on the second floor. There's a little display case with canned books in a tin can.
You know, for your listeners, it's probably worth just checking out the art in the library, including the art books, which are, we have canned books. We have a Morton Salt book, which is different. And there are many forms of what so-called artist books, but we have a small display of those. And then we have actually a lot of 2D art that sits on the walls. That's right. What we see too. We have.
Yeah, I think it's amazing because I think in our culture as a whole, it's getting harder and harder to find art, find good books. And it's really awesome that we have a place that they can come for free or sign up and have access to all of this art that you really can't find anywhere else nowadays, you know. And talking about art and talking about where we live, I wanted to talk a little bit about the type of, about the art in Astoria. The Fisher poets, they have the open mic, the poets on the pier. And you remember, I was at the Sleeper Coffee the other day on Pier 11, Pier 12? Remember?
Pier 12.
And on there was a little zine. Do you see the zine?
I've seen zines there. They're great. I've seen a few different locally produced zines.
Oh, I love them.
I heard they have zines at Shortwave too, and I saw them at Sleeper and I think some other places in town, maybe Rain.
Does Blue Scorcher have? I know that Blue Scorcher has that.
They might.
Of magazines and stuff.
And this is great because I think people are increasingly focused on both the handmade and the local things that are close to their community, close to their hearts, and
I love
the imprint of being produced, you know, by human beings, as things get more and more homogenous and everything's, you know, on the web and available to everyone, maybe that...
Well, not only that, but they're putting AI in everything, whether we like it or not.
Absolutely. So maybe that zine or locally produced art or locally produced music is that much more dear when we get the feeling that everything is just generic and homogenous.
Yeah, and I think it'd be fair to say, you know, as a show for writers, we could talk about writing music too, right?
Well,
I know for a fact you're in a couple bands and you write some music.
I do. I write music. It's fun. Yeah, that's my my big hobby is playing in bands.
And which bands do you play in? You got to plug the bands.
Okay, I play in currently two bands that are performing. One is called The Vills, and we are just getting back together after a long hiatus when our bass player Alex moved to Costa Rica with his family. But he's back in town, and we've been practicing, and we even have a show scheduled. And then the...
Where's the show at?
The show is at a new venue. I think it's going to be called the Grand Marquis. It says Event Center on the sign, and it's on 9th and Commercial.
Macked? That little...
Oh, yeah. It's right by Mac.
I've seen the Lonely Crab Records. I was like, what is going on there?
Yeah, so that's going to be a performing venue.
Oh, that's great.
And actually, both of my bands are going to be playing there on Easter.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So if for your viewers who need something to do to unwind on Easter, five local bands are playing, two of which I'm playing in, the first two, The Vills, and the other band I play in is called The Something Ain't Rights.
And The Something Ain't Rights have been all over town the last couple months.
We perform a lot, yeah. We're going to play in Portland this weekend. We're going to go to Austin during my spring break.
Wow.
At the end of this month. Yep.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And you write the music, or do you write lyrics too, or just the music?
I write most of the music for The Vills, but my friend Mike writes the music in The Something Ain't Rights. And he sings the songs too, and I just sit back and play lead guitar parts. Oh.
Well, thanks, and I look forward to seeing the band. And thanks for coming on the show and talking about books and writing and art, and that's been really great. So thank you so much.
You know, my normal... comment about books is don't read books, they'll only rot your brain. But I am actually joking about that. I love reading books, and you know, you asked at the beginning if how it feels to be surrounded by books, and it feels great, and it feels great to have current books and books that people are interested in, and see the excitement over books.
Oh, just, you know, come in and through the door, and you guys have that great display always, and it changes like monthly, right?
Yep. Well, one display changes twice a month, and then our new books display changes as we put new books out. Usually, it's usually every couple weeks.
And you always have a theme for the first display,
right? Right, right now, it's Medieval March. That's great. Yeah,
that's great. All right. Well, come by the library and check it out. And thank you guys, and thank you so much, Dan, for
being here. Yeah, thanks for interviewing me, Sean.
Yeah, for
sure. Good to talk to you.
Thank you for joining us today on River Writers, and thanks to my guest, Dan McClure, for sitting down and chatting about reading and writing. And a big thank you to all of you out there listening. The Writers Guild of Astoria is a 501c3 nonprofit organization promoting the library arts and serving writers in the Lower Columbia region. You can learn more and become a member by visiting www.thewritersguild.org. Until next time, keep the words flowing and your pencil sharp. I'm Sean Davis for River Writers.